Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Under Armour, baby. We must protect this house. That's right. That's what we're doing these days.
Let me tell you something. If you're going to push a product, it's important to actually use a tagline that wasn't removed from the marketing strategy 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah. That's that jerk Mike Florio. Who the hell cares what he says? He's not on this show. This is Chris Sims Unbuttoned, presented by Under Armour. The only way is through. That's right. We got rid of that 15-year-old tagline, and we're back in the...
I think it's only 8 or 9 years
but
old.
But it's only 8 or 9. Mike was like, harsh to me, on you. And it's like, I hope Under Armour's not mad at me for saying that. It's one of the first ways they jumped on the scene.
Right?
And it's like one of the greatest taglines ever.
I think it's a compliment.
It is a compliment for me. Because yeah. At first, especially like, you know, you were like, who is this Under Armour coming on the scene? And like, you know, you're like, what? Are they going to compete with Nike and Adidas? And who are they?
Right?
And they made themselves relevant in a hurry.
Yes, they
did. Of course, that's what jumped out on my, you know, radar.
Protect this house.
I was like, damn, that guy, he's crazy and running around hitting people and doing all that. But the only way is through, and we are very happy to have Under Armour as our sponsor here.
Man, all these times, the last 2.5 years, I've come in here in a t-shirt and sat down like, God, I hope I'm not like way underdressed here. And Chris is like, why doesn't he have a real shirt on? And you have the t-shirt on.
Yeah, baby.
Well done.
Yeah. Baby. That's right. You know, it was a little warmer than I expected today.
A little.
I know. It's like 80-something and humid here today for some reason. And we've had, like, we haven't had 80-something and humid the whole summer.
Yeah.
And now it's the middle of September and we're going to get it. And then, you know, some wash needs to be done and some dry cleaning.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, what the hell? So I'm a little behind in that clothes department. I'm mad at some people in my house for that, all right?
You can narrow that down.
Yeah, the wife, the cleaning lady. Those are their departments. They got to get going there a little bit and keep up with me.
So, same person or two separate people?
No, two separate people. Okay. The wife does do a lot of cleaning too, so she's double duty. But yes, these are first world problems, no doubt about it, so I shouldn't be complaining.
First world, first week.
Baby,
first
football!
First week of the season. How awesome was it to have games on just in the house? I know you're here a lot, but just have football on the entire day?
Yes.
My gosh.
Amazing. Great, great day. You know, it can almost be overwhelming at first
because we
have all the games on. And, of course, I want to be able to know all the important things. And, hey, listen, I probably missed stuff. And that's why you got to come back to the Wednesday podcast and we'll do deeper dives into some real X's and O's things. But I think I got a good feel for all the games. Usually I am like write a million notes about each game. I took a little different approach yesterday and I actually think I liked it better.
What is it?
Well, I just fucking watch
just
instead
watch.
Of trying to write things down. I'm like, wait, I got a pretty good memory. I'm kind of famous for my recall and being able to remember things.
Your command right now is as good as it would have been if you would have written it down?
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel like sometimes I write stuff down and I lose sight of like I'm writing and then all of a sudden like what happened and I'm always writing. So I just kept my eyes on the screen a little bit more.
You know what else happens when you write things down, as I have 95 pages of shit I've written down, is that then you count on being able to find it.
Yeah, right.
And it's like you're never going to find it in the moment. So if you don't write it down, if you know you're counting on your mind and your recall, maybe that's better.
No, it is better. Sometimes when you write it down too, you're right, you have this agenda of like I want to get to this
in there somewhere.
Right, or I missed something.
Yeah.
And I got a real good feel for all the games for the most part. You know, I've seen a ton of highlights, watched a little film of some certain plays in games too to have a feel that way. So I'm excited. Football, baby. Better than a diamond ring.
Depends on who you are.
Played by a king. Football.
It's an every game Monday though. Monday, we hit every
single game
during the season. We have a potpourri of all the Sims signature segments. Damn okay, victory lap, self-scout thyself.
Yes, right. Yeah, we got it all. We're going to hit it all. I think there's a little theme to hit on in just about every game we go through. And that's what at least I'm going to give you, where the thing that jumped out to me, and we'll have some conversations about it.
So damn okay. I'm a little rusty with this because I enjoy this throw.
Yeah.
Because I know you have a theme song
right
here. But for the first time of the season.
Yes. Damn okay is going to be about damn okay. That guy's pretty damn good. And there was a lot of that yesterday.
Plenty of good performances to pick from.
Definitely. So let's start it.
Damn okay.
Start that track.
Hit it.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn.
Damn.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, yes. Okay. The legal gambolizing. Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. Okay. Damn. Okay. I really still feel like that's an Eminem song. There's a song that's kind of like that. I mean, I don't know if you want to start calling me B-Rabbit or anything like that, but it's the goodest rap I could do. Thank you for NBC making me sound good there.
Well, this is not an original damn okay, but it certainly fits. You want to go to Little Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes?
Right.
All right, knocking off the Browns 33-29, and it was kind of a tale of two halves.
Yes.
Cleveland, right. And now that I'm in the predicting game and I said the Browns are going to be a Super Bowl team, I felt 10 feet tall in that first half.
Sure.
I was like, the Browns, I know what I'm doing. These guys are good.
You shouldn't feel any worse about that.
No?
I don't. After yesterday, I still feel good about putting Cleveland in the Super Bowl.
I do, too.
They do. There's a lot of good things. You could see they give the Chiefs a lot of problems in a lot of ways. You know, hey, it's one thing to be as good as the Chiefs or we're shooting for them. It's another thing to actually beat them and conquer them. And Cleveland's still a young team as far as being battle-tested that way. They kind of just found their way at the end of last year. But, man, they pose some problems. Here's one thing that always jumps out to me, and this will continue to be a problem. Their ability to run the football and be so dominant up front at the line of scrimmage takes away some of Steve Spagnuolo's creativity on the back end. You know, he's famous for disguising this and, wait, we took away the run game, now we got him throwing the ball, and now I have a million different coverages and disguises and you're going to be all screwed up. But he gets a little handcuffed in this matchup because Cleveland can run on anybody. I would be shocked if really any team all year really slows them down.
But then what happened in the second half?
Well, second half, I mean, listen, they shot themselves in the foot a few times, right? Yeah, they got some Kansas City, went on some long drives, got it going together, you know, and I, again, I'd have to go back and watch the film of some of the specifics of why some of the drives didn't continue. But I never really felt like, you know, again, even in the second half, I mean, they were up, what, 29-20 late in the third quarter? Am I right about that? Is it somewhere in there? Hey, it's fourth quarter, you know. But, yes, you know, you start off the first half with Mahomes, you know, catching on fire and going on a seven-minute drive, right? And then they went, I can't remember exactly, maybe three and out or six and out. The Chiefs got the ball back again, got a field goal. And then, you know, the Cleveland Browns answered back with a long drive themselves. But here's the thing to me, the number one banner statement. Cleveland Browns, this is where you drop the ball. Not on your offense, it's your defense. Mm. And here's the main reason. And anybody who watched my picks podcast with Florio, this is the reason I picked the Chiefs. They had no plan for Tyreek Hill in the playoff game last year. And they treated him like a normal pedestrian yesterday. It's the Chiefs, everybody. Cleveland. They throw to two people, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. There was no game plan. There were so many plays where I just saw Tyreek Hill get in the slot and get free releases. Nobody jam him. No disruption of his route or any of that. No, hey, it's third and seven. Let's double Kelce here and do something out of the side of the box of our defense. Like, Cleveland is not good enough on defense yet to go, this is what we do, and we're just going to do what we do. No, that's the 2013 Seahawks, the 2019 49ers. Mm. Okay, they can do that. Cleveland's not at that status yet, and that to me is where they dropped the ball more than anything, Paul.
As long as we're thinking that way about the Cleveland defense, what they did or better yet did not do. This is from ZC12. He says, how does Browns DC Joe Woods get the personnel to defend the pass for Cleveland but then doesn't use them and plays three linebackers against Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have no problem with the three linebackers. They have, you know, they got some athletes at linebacker. So I don't think it's necessarily worried about that. But you can't just go, again, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly right. There's got to be some – you got to throw a curveball at the Chiefs every now and then. Like, I understand, hey, you got a base defense that's really good. You believe in the scheme. That's really cool. But if it's play after play after play, Reed is going to call the right play at some point. Mahomes is going to check to the right thing at the line of scrimmage and then get them in the right play to where they're going to burn that. You got to do something outside the box just every now and then to go, hey, we've been doing this. Hey, look, we're still doing it. We're still doing it. And then he says, set Hutt. And you go, oh, man, they dropped somebody out and they got somebody doubling Kelsey and then they, you know, got a guy on top of them too. There was none of that. There has to be more game plan specific like stuff in their attack on the defensive side of the ball, especially to beat teams like the Chiefs.
As much as you wanted to see a better plan, a more specific plan against Tyreek Hill, one play really changed that game.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes, and hey, it was a phenomenal athletic play by Mahomes. He does it five or six times a game.
Yep.
Rolling to the right, flings the ball about 50 yards.
Yeah, crappy throw, really.
It was a crappy throw.
Right.
And so it was Johnson at safety,
well,
right?
Well, there we go.
If he just turns around and plays the ball, that ball was more easily, when it was halfway there, more easily intercepted than received by Tyreek Hill. If he just turns around and sees it, it's coming right to him.
I know. It's
if he makes that play, they win the game.
Well, probably. You know DBs, though.
I know.
And
if they could catch and read the ball, they'd be playing offense.
Probably. But here's the other. Just think about what you're saying. First off, he's going, wait, why is Tyreek Hill so on top of me right away? Nobody's disrupted him. And why is he the only guy on the best receiver in football as safety 50 yards down the field? See, so, John Johnson, listen, yeah, we'd like him to make the play better.
Yeah.
The actual crappy throw and the ball being thrown behind him helped Hill and Mahomes. You know, he's trying to run to a spot. Hey, the ball was underthrown and behind. Hill gets to react quicker, right? And Johnson, of course, is trying to, like, give 110% of his speed because he knows he's not as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Right.
The real problem there would be, no, why was he put in that position to be 50 yards down the field against, you know, Tyreek Hill? That would be my question. I would go to Joe Woods. I got a lot of respect for Joe Woods.
Yep.
But that's where I go, man, like, if you want to beat them in the divisional or the AFC championship game, like, those are things they gotta correct a little bit. I mean, come on. You had all offseason to get ready. It's the last team you played, and you let the two guys that went off in the divisional game go off again to start the season.
Yeah.
And there was no different approach. I know you got Clowney and Owusu-Koramo and some better players, but still, this is like an all-time special offense and quarterback. And for you to think you're just going to do what you do, you know, that doesn't fly with me.
I think it is special in quarterback. Pete, Christian, can we run this graphic on Mahomes? I saw it a little bit yesterday, but it is worth seeing again.
It's insanity.
This is phenomenal. He's played 11 games in September in his career, 35 touchdowns, zero interceptions, and they haven't lost. Like, that's just stupid. You add up picks and games lost in 11 games in that month. Zero.
That's amazing.
It's impossible.
No, it's impossible. Well, I mean, come on. We're seeing an all-time great already. Let's just enjoy it. You know,
right?
Let's not debate. Like, this is an all-time great. An all-time great. And then Andy Reid, you know, of course, we know he's always special for a few new tricks and his repertoire. Or, you know, he's famous for coming off bye weeks and winning those games. So I think it speaks, one, to, yeah, they always have a few new wrinkles. They played a lot in the preseason, so they hit the ground running. There's no like, oh, wait, we got to get used to football again, like we saw maybe Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, right?
Yeah.
So that's another aspect. You know, and then, of course, just their pure talent is going to jump up on people early in the year to where teams got to get a feel again for what they do, how they play, you know, how fast these guys are, and then teams will continue to reassess as they go along. But, hey, Cleveland, man, Baker Mayfield played amazing. I know he threw the interception.
Yeah.
You know, but he made a lot of big time, high level throws throughout the game.
The first half was so much fun to watch
with
how courageous the play calling was. With, I mean, people were saying, oh, he's just trying to keep up with the Chiefs. I think it was more Stefanski's belief in his quarterback and his system, no matter who they're playing.
Definitely. I agree. They're going to attack this year.
Yeah.
They're going to run. They have confidence in their run game, and I think they got confidence that Baker really has a good feel for the offense, knows what he's doing. And you're right. They're not trying to keep up with the Chiefs. You're going to see that every week all
year. They're
just
playing the way they're going to play.
That's exactly right, Paul. I think they are. And, hey, you know, the second half, again, still – you know, yeah, it wasn't easy. It's the damn Chiefs.
Right.
You know, you knew they're going to make their run. And you go, like I said, three and out after a long series like that. You know, you make a turnover. The stupid punter drops the ball. You know, that's how you lose a football game in the fourth quarter to one of the better teams in football. So, still, I think a lot of positives to really build on for their football team. And I would think it only gets better, even on the defensive side of the ball. Let's not forget, there's some new pieces there, too, who are getting used to this system.
Nothing but positives for the NFC West as they will take over here the damn okay. Before you get into what you liked about Russell Wilson in the Seahawks win over the Colts 28-16, his numbers, I mean, just 18 out of 23, 254. Four touchdowns, no picks, and the highlights were fantastic. I mean, these weren't easy throws. Deep balls, right on the money. Russell Wilson deserves this spot here.
Yeah, he does. I mean, damn, okay. Let Russ cook. Here we go again. You know, Shane Waldron, you know, again, I think the way the offense looked, and that's another one I'm excited to kind of just break down on film, but, like, I'm an idiot for picking the Colts to upset the Seahawks in this one. I did. I thought they might win a close one. You know, and be able to throw some new wrinkles out at the Seahawks defense. Two things jump out to me about this game. First off is what you said. I mean, damn, Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett and, you know, DK Metcalf. I don't know if there's a better, you know, well, when I say trio or dual threat at the wide receiver position right now, to two guys where you just go, they can go to the house on any given play.
Yep.
Wilson's ability to be on the money with deep balls is as good as anybody in the sport. I think that's the first thing that just jumps out to me. You know, they ran the ball well. If they run the ball well, and then Waldron, like we saw Sean McVay with Stafford last night, can dial up some deep pass plays to be creative every week, that's going to be really tough for every team to handle. It doesn't need to be complicated when you got a guy that can throw it like that, and then you can control the line of scrimmage. The Colts were disappointing on both sides of the ball. I mean, the front seven, they got pushed around by Seattle. We saw Russell had a lot of time throwing the ball. There was no, like, scramble Russell Wilson magic plays where you were like, whoa, I mean, man, that was good defense. That's just Russell Wilson being amazing. No, it was just an ass-whooping by the Seahawks. And then the other side of the ball, too. You know, I had questions about the Seahawks defense. But, damn, their fucking front seven was all over Carson Wentz and company early on. And it looked like Carson Wentz of old too. I'm going to be interested to see that too.
Yeah.
Was he holding the ball too long? Was he waiting for people or too aggressive in decision making? You know, he's just got a little bit of that. It's got, every play can't be the last play of the game. He's not going to make it through the year if he gets hit like he did again last week. You know, we'll talk about injury problems. He's part of the problem sometimes. He's got to learn to save his body and not take some of these hits. Sorry, I'm blabbering. I'm excited now.
I don't know if there was a new part of the season we were looking forward to more, had more anticipation, not only at this desk but nationwide, for the Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford combo,
right,
and what they would be able to do. An offense that was always pretty good.
Yeah.
What kind of a step it would take.
Right.
You've got one example, 34-14 win over the Bears. First reaction.
Yeah, well, the first reaction is I think just Matt Stafford's going to take the offense to a level we haven't seen under the McVay era. And I know Jared Goff did some really good things with them, and I'm not trying to, you know, get down on him. It's just Stafford's a special talent. You know, I don't know. You listen to Drew Brees in our pregame show. You know, listen to anybody. You know, this is something that I've been trying to yell at people for the last 7 or 8 years. It's one of the most talented players in our sport. He was in a fucked up situation in Detroit. It wasn't easy. I don't care who's the quarterback there. It wasn't going to be much better results. But I think here's the thing that jumped out to me. In the past, when the Rams couldn't run the ball, they struggled in general. Because it just didn't – so if they couldn't run the ball, you know, then, of course, the bootlegs and the play actions weren't there to the same capacity. And Goff wasn't going to make – high-level wow-type throws, you know, in those type of moments where, hey, the run game's not working, and now I got to make some plays happen. We saw last night without the run game, the play-action pass was still really effective because you can call a whole different variety of plays with Matthew Stafford. And then I think the last thing that really jumped out to me is, you know, even when they went through little spurts of running and play-action might not have been its best, The drop-back pass game is going to be a real element of their offense. I mean, just the Cooper Kupp touchdown down the middle.
Yeah.
You know, Stafford is going to help McVay out because Stafford's been around a lot of – you know, there's been some good drop-back pass offenses, right, to where he's going to go, wait, McVay, hey, Sean, this is – we used to do this in empty. We used to do this in four wides. It's a pretty good play. I'm comfortable with it. He'll teach Sean, and Sean will go, that makes sense. I like it. You like it? I like it. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only going to grow their offense, too. It's going to be a killer combo.
I thought they kept it in check, too, with the play calling. I mean, you think about the places on the field Stafford can get it that McVay's never had. We saw it early in the game.
Yeah.
That when he threw 65, 70 yards in the air,
yeah,
just a little
first,
flick.
The first big pass of the game.
Such an example of what we talked about the last few months.
Right.
He can put the ball on the field where – they couldn't get it to
these last few years.
So, number one.
Yep.
But then they didn't go crazy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised to see McVay throw it 48, 50 times. He was 20 out of 26.
Yeah.
Very efficient, very under control.
Yeah. It's McVay. McVay really knows how to manage a football game. And I think he probably knew, like, wait, you know, this defensive front for Chicago is pretty good. We're not going to be able to just dominate them in a running game. They've had issues the last 3 years against Chicago. If you really go back and watch the film, I mean, they lost the Super Bowl year in Chicago, and even the last 2 years, the Rams have beat the Bears, but it hasn't been easy. The Bears are a size team. The Rams are a speed and quickness team, so sometimes it's a tough matchup for them that way. But yeah, McVay does a good job of, you know, okay, I'm frustrated. It's not working all the way. Let's just throw everything at them. That's how you lose a game. Yeah. Now Stafford throws an interception or somebody gets strip sack fumbled or something. Like, so he always plays within himself. He realizes that he's got a good defense too. He's not going to panic on one side of the ball when he knows, wait, there's another offense over there that's not that good, and I got studs on defense. And he plays it the right way. And that's why they win a lot of close games. I know this game wasn't close, but that's why they do.
In this damn okay list, we have five names here, Chris.
Yeah.
Four quarterbacks, the one non-quarterback.
Yeah.
We stay in the NFC West. Deebo Samuel, 49ers beat the Lions 41-33. How about 9 catches for 189?
I mean, Deebo is just he's a baller. There's no other way to say it. A baller, and maybe as important to that offense as anybody on their team. You know, I know George Kittle's a star and everything like that, but it's Deebo does all the other things. Deebo's a great run blocker. Deebo with the reverses and speed sweeps is special. Deebo is fearless over the middle. Oh, over the middle. I mean, you know, I know why Shanahan likes him. Shanahan likes any guy that has no hesitation, right? He wants guys to run like their fucking pants are on fire and run through the wall. You got to run through the wall to get a first down here, run through the wall. He's got a whole team of those type of guys. And you see Deebo Samuel, he catches balls over the middle and just rips them out of the air. He doesn't even wait for it to get him. He rips it out of the air so he can go and make moves right away. You know, just that aspect. Of course, the one-on-one ball that he caught against Jeff Okuda. I mean, that was, you know, Garoppolo under pressure, just throwing it up, going, wait, I got a one-on-one matchup. Let me see if my guy can make a play. He makes a play and does that. Now, he had the fumble at the end of the game, which was a great call by Shanahan on 3rd and 12 to ice the game. And he just got to have a better feel for, like, oh, there's the sticks. I got the first down. Let me protect the ball and kind of go down. He tried to get a little greedy and go too far. Trey Flowers punched it out and gave the Lions a chance to, you know, steal the game or at least tie the game in a game they really had no business being in.
We devoted so much of the offseason talking about Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on his 17 out of 25, 314, one touchdown, no pick performance.
Well, it looked like, you know, this is the Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers of the Super Bowl run, what we saw yesterday. I mean, the first thing is, we know when Shanahan gets the run game going like that, it's just like good luck whoever playing him, because now he's got the run game going. Now he's exposing people at the second level, and Garoppolo is phenomenal at throwing the ball over the middle of the field and making quick decisions and getting the ball out of his hands quickly off of play action or even the quick drop back pass game. Hey, I'll say it all the time. The 49ers, I don't know why people don't crowd the middle of the field more. They don't throw the ball outside the numbers. But, man, Shanahan's genius is just special that way. It really is. And, you know, I think yesterday, you know, I know they blew the lead. But, you know, the team we saw up 38-10 is the real team.
They blew them out.
Yeah, they blew them out.
They,
you know, they took
ass.
The foot off the gas and then, you know, prevent defense and, okay, we're going to be a little more conservative on offense. And, yeah, they had a few problems, missed the onside kick, and that let Detroit. This is the NFL. Listen, in 2 or 3 mistakes, a team can get back in the game, and that's kind of what we saw there. But I still think, yeah, this is a special football team and more close to the 38-10 team than the 41-33 team.
Game before this, we talked about the Bears. So I want to bring in Justin Fields, the little bit of a role he played there, tied in with Trey Lance. Again, the kind of small role he played as both coaches sprinkled in the rookie quarterbacks. Question from at D. Raju.
He says,
what's your take on San Francisco and Chicago throwing in the rookie quarterbacks here and there throughout the game? Should there be pushback from Jimmy and Andy How much does it affect their rhythm?
No, listen, I don't think Andy can push back much at all. Jimmy can have a ground to stand on to maybe push back.
Yeah.
But I think at this point right now, he could probably feel pretty comfortable in that he's the guy, and Trey Lance is going to be a guy that they just throw in to screw with the defense every now and then. You know, even just touchdown pass Trey Lance through. It's a great – I mean, that's Shanahan genius. You're thinking, it's Trey Lance. They're going to do a run or some quarterback run. And then, of course, what does he do? He sends some motion, and they fake the run. And, okay, off that action, you think the backside receiver is usually going to run a shallow cross or something like, he puts the brakes on, he goes back out, he's wide open, easy touchdown. So that's great. You know, so I feel differently about the 49ers and their situation. Garoppolo's the quarterback. I don't think you can trust Trey Lance yet from what I saw in the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I got no inside info in this, so don't everybody think like, oh, he's talking to Kyle. You know, people like say things to like my dad and things like, we think your son's a mouthpiece for the 49 for Shanahan. Yeah, I haven't spoken very highly about his third pick of the draft the whole fucking training camp. You think he's telling me to say that? How stupid is everybody? Yeah, he's telling me the most crucial pick of his career. Like, yeah. You know, bring some question marks up about my number three pick.
Did he ever call you and say, hey, can you lay off my pick a little bit?
No, he didn't. You know, that's what's cool, too. He lets me be me. He's never been like, I think he knows I'm going to evaluate it for myself, and he's not going to influence me anyway. So that's what I appreciate about my friend Kyle, without a doubt. But that situation to me is different. That's where, okay, they don't need Trey Lance necessarily. It's a nice wrinkle, and he's raw. Okay, now with Justin Fields – and then that thing, that's a different animal to me. I mean, you know my answers to some of that. I mean, again, it's not that Andy Dalton's bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he's not going to do anything special for your offense
right
in a close game and games when you're down
mm-hmm.
that you're going to be able to make plays or get a lead or whatever it is. He played fine. Exactly.
But,
fine is the word.
But the combo of him maybe – his default will be going underneath and throwing the safer throw. And you've heard me complain the last couple of years about Matt Nagy's offense being having 95 ways to pick up 4 yards on a pass completion. Combination of what Matt's doing. Andy's going to be a little conservative anyway.
Yeah.
And that's how it looked. He played. He did well.
He did fine. But to your point, it's 38 attempts for 206 yards.
Yeah.
That's not going to beat the Rams.
Right.
That's just not going to do it. It's not going to beat a lot of teams that are like equal to you or better. You know, the game is about explosive plays. And their, like, only explosive play of the night was the first drive, the run by Montgomery. You know, that's where I still will sit here. And I think Justin Fields should be the quarterback.
Right
now.
You
know, again, you know, Andy, we have offensive line protection.
You'd make the switch right now.
I would. Andy Dalton, he knows, you know, the offense. You know, what about last night? What part of that could Justin Fields not do? I understand he might have not made every right decision. But I don't go like, man, Andy Dalton threw the 6-yard hitch route? I know Justin Fields isn't ready for that yet.
Well, they'd have to call a different game.
Yes,
I mean,
they'd have
Andy's
going to
go
game.
8 for 9 for 60 yards.
Right.
I don't think they're going to expect, or they wouldn't expect Justin Fields to run that kind of offense.
No, and you'll still be able to run those plays because people are going to run defenses to go, wait, we got to give and take a little bit. This guy might keep the ball. They might have a quarterback design run. We better play something simple coverage, and he'll be able to throw it. But, like, to your point, the Nagy offense is frustrating to me. How many times last night did we sit there and go, whoa, Andy Dalton jammed it in for 6 yards? I mean, the risk-reward is way higher risk than reward for their offense, and I think that's what bothers me. And the other thing I'll say, too, compared to, like, Trey Lance, Justin Fields is a bigger man. He doesn't seem – he's a little more trustworthy with the ball, I felt like, all through preseason as far as, you know, just knowing what to do. And the last thing is his running is a notch up from Trey Lance.
Yeah.
The way
he turned that corner on that
right,
touchdown
that,
run last
it was
night,
easy, right?
Yeah.
It was easy.
And it wasn't.
I know.
He made it look easy.
He makes it look easy. Yeah. This is a special runner to me. That's where I just go, you know, I don't know, but I think there's going to be tremendous pressure. They got the Bengals this week, and if – you know, first off, Andy Dalton throws an interception in the red zone on the first drive. Yeah, okay, a little unlucky, but damn, he threw an interception. You're the lesser team. You need to get a momentum in those type of situations. If things start off slow next week against Cincinnati, which I know is cold-blooded to do to Andy Dalton, that stadium's going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go crazy. And I just think I think we see Justin Fields next week.
It's an interesting situation because Andy's going to play average or above average most of the time. It's not going to be obvious, like, get this guy out of here, he stinks.
No, exactly right.
It's just the offense is going to be okay.
Okay.
And they need it to be more than okay.
Yes.
And they've got this rookie over there that everybody thinks can do some different
things
because he can.
Right. That's right.
And people want to get a peek at that.
But I know. Everybody's like, oh, Andy Dalton, revenge game. I know.
I don't
that's
think
the Bengals.
They won't be sentimental about
they
it.
They can't be. Yeah. They got to worry about start winning some football games. And I think your point is very real. Like, Andy Dalton's capable.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to have some sort of formula of support around him. He's not the kind of guy that's going to be like, hey, we're just okay on offense. I'll make us really good because I'll make plays and special throws and everything like that. That's just not who he is, and especially at this point of his career.
We have saved the best damn okay for last.
Damn, okay.
We go elsewhere in the NFC West to Kyler Murray and
Holy
the Cardinals.
Holy shitballs, Batman.
Holy cow. 38-13 over the Titans. And to set this one up, guys, can we roll the five theme there with Kyler Murray? Chandler Jones, five sacks for Chandler Jones.
Fever.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Tied a franchise record for sacks in a single game. And Kyler Murray, five total touchdowns, four passing, and one running. My question to you, again, another topic we spent a lot of time talking about. You wanted to see more help for Kyler.
Yes.
From the scheme
right.
and the offense
That's
and the
right,
play
Paul.
Calling.
Right.
What'd you see?
I think I saw that. I definitely saw. I watched a little bit of this film this morning. There was definitely a more variety of personnel sets and formations and ideas that excited me.
Good.
Where I went, okay, like here, damn, Cliff, all right, he's been in the lab. There's some things here
Which idea did you, it
well,
really
you
stands
know,
out?
He just, you know, there's, of course, a lot of movement before the snap that I like. They got, of course, some weapons. When you put Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins and then there's Rondale Moore on the field, and then sometimes A.J. Green's in there, man, it's a lot of weapons to match up against. And then Kingsbury did a good job, I thought, of just, hey, we're in this formation. Oh, watch, this guy's flying this way. Oh, no, he's going back the other way. Next time, we're in the pistol and the back's behind me. You know, oh, wait, now it's just a snap or two with Kyler Murray underneath the center.
Yeah.
So I saw a little variety. That's what you and me have talked about a lot, right? We don't want to just see shotgun four wides. You know, that's just not going to get it done week in and week out in the NFL. So the offense off to a good start. The number one thing that jumped out to me, besides Kyler Murray just being an absolute freak show, is they might have something with their offensive line this year. I mean, that was to me the number one thing. When I went back and watched the film, I went, whoa, protection was like elite. It was phenomenal. They couldn't get even close to Kyler Murray with the four-man rush. I mean, he had a wall of red around him. Nobody around him. And then Tennessee got into some situations where they're like, shit, we got to blitz. We got to do something.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then you're one-on-one. And then there's a Christian Kirk off his back foot because he knows he's got one-on-one. Let me throw it out there. That guy's got three rockets up his ass. He'll go catch the ball. So that to me was the biggest thing, let alone the run game to go with it. They blew the Titans off the ball. They whooped their ass up front.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, James Conner and, number two, Chase Edmonds, man, they look good. That's a good little combo to have, too. Again, two other weapons there, too, where Chase Edmonds is—he's going to be a tough matchup because he's the type that can split out a receiver, and you can go, damn, he runs routes like a receiver. He's a legit slot receiver, So they have a lot of ways to attack you. I think that was really exciting to see on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line really jumped out, though. They really did, along with Cliff Kingsbury's, versatility on the offensive side of the ball. And before we move on from this game, the defense—I just got to talk about that a little bit because I think I'm actually got more excited about watching the defense than I did the offense.
Really?
I did. The offense was good. I'm not going to just go, I'm sold, they're back. I want to see more. Can Cliff keep, ahead of the curve, continue to be creative and throw a lot of different looks at you? I want to see that. I know Vance Joseph's a really good defensive coach. And, man, Paul, I don't know. I'm scared, of course. I mean, this is overreaction Monday of week one. But just the way their first-team defense looks on the field, maybe I've underrated them. We'll see as we go forward. But we know Chandler Jones is a beast,
right,
and probably the most underrated pass rusher in football.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt did look good. But where I was more excited is the second level of their defense. There's like
the athleticism at linebacker and safety.
Yes.
They could like interchange those dudes.
Right.
Really looks different.
It's different.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's scary how fast they are when it's, listen, all three of their linebackers, Hicks, Zaven Collins, and Isaiah Simmons, can all fly.
What did you think of Simmons yesterday?
Simmons was, it's the best game I think he's played as a pro.
Like they figured out in the offseason how to use him.
Yeah, I mean, he's either right in the middle of the field, praying mantis, running all over, sideline to sideline, long arms, long legs, just everything in your way. You can't throw over the middle of the field. And then when they put him at the end of the line of scrimmage, you know, he's physical. He could set the edge. He'll take Derrick Henry on in the whole one-on-one and take him down. He did that a few times. And then, like you said, the safeties, when you add, like, Buda Baker into the equation when he gets down there, and even Byron Murphy at nickel a little bit, you just go, man, you know, you might make it through the first line, but that second group, man, they're coming.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a few times where there was holes yesterday, and I went,
not for long.
Derrick Henry might get 10 yards here, and he got two. Because they can really pursue and run to the ball.
I love your point on the defense. I want to back up to the offense one more time
Kyler
Murray.
Yeah,
I spent a lot of time with this game this morning because I figured with your interest in their offense and how maybe it would look different with how well they played yesterday. I wanted to be on top of it.
There was
a point of the second quarter. Okay, it was 17-6. There was a third down and 10 for the Arizona offense.
Right.
Okay, so Kyler Murray drops back, pressured. Sprints out to his right.
Right.
Nobody close to him because he evades it so easily. But then he sprinted back to his left, and he set up, and like he had eyes in the back of his head. Someone was coming for him from like a 20-yard sprint. Just stepped back a little bit, made a miss, found somebody down the sideline to convert on third and 10. Like a phenomenal, as you said, magic play by Kyler Murray that we've kind of come to expect.
Yes.
Same drive, there was a third and 6, and this was a different kind of Kyler play. Stayed in the pocket, had a shallow crossing route from left to right, and hung in there, and it's the kind of ball you can either drive or throw with some touch.
Right.
He kind of faded back and put a little touch on it. His receiver had half a step on the defense and just dropped it in there perfectly. There was no scrambling around crazy. Nobody else can make this play.
Right. It's a high-level kind of
play you expect a quarterback on third and 6, who's good from the pocket to make most of the time, and he did it perfectly.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Both of those came on the same drive.
He threw the ball amazing all day long. I mean, just – you know, the first touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins in the back end line where Hopkins, I think that was the first one. I don't know. He threw so many damn touchdowns, I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, a few hole shots up the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, he was beat up last year. He was. He told us that, you know, when Florio and I talked to him, like, in the spring at one point. He kind of alluded to it because I knew his throwing motion was off a little bit. And, yeah, I think he was beat up at a time last year. Man, but, yes, the variety throws. And I want to get to this third and 6th throw as I watch it because I can't remember exactly. I got it right here. Let me see if I got it.
He's in the pocket. He's got trips to the left.
Yep, he's got trips to the left. He slides to the left just a little, and he throws like a crossing route.
A shallow cross to the inside guy.
Yeah, to Christian Kirk. You're talking about this one, right?
Yes, just dropped it in there, kind of waited for the right time.
Yeah, he was running like about a 15-yard crosser.
It was a quarterback's throw.
It was
a passer's pass. It's like what you want from a pocket guy.
Yes, you're right.
And it came moments after he made a play. You're like, well, no one else in the league can make that play.
No. That's where I go back to this Cliff Kingsbury thing, to where if he can continue to just give different looks, keep teams on edge a little bit.
Yeah.
The dude's going to make a handful of plays every game to get you out of jail, like where you just go, wait, I screwed this play up. Oh, we didn't block it. Or somebody busted a route. Oh, it didn't matter.
Thankfully, I got that guy.
Exactly. Yeah. And then if you can give him just some normal in-rhythm plays and offense, phenomenal. And like in this play, just as you're talking about it too, you know, they get it's the perfect situation. Again, it's pretty good pass protection, and it's man-to-man. And it's just like, I don't know. You don't have five people to match up against this group man-to-man. It's going to be a very special defense that's going to be able to do that. But, yeah, it was awesome to watch yesterday. It really was. And excited for Kyler Murray. It was awesome to see the offensive line play that way.
Yeah,
and, yeah, watch out. Arizona. The damn NFC West.
4-0.
I don't know. I mean, could they do it? Could they do it where all four teams end up going to the playoffs? I mean,
we just kind of had this conversation a week or two ago when we were going through the over-unders.
I know.
I got to the NFC West, I'm like, I feel like everyone's going to hit the over.
I mean,
except Arizona.
It's yeah. I know.
Right?
We put them in the back seat.
Yeah.
But it's you know, things would have to shake out the right way. A lot of other teams would have to lose, I think, for four teams in the same division. But, yeah, you got the Saints and Bucks good. That's going to be really hard. You know, I don't know. Maybe the way it looked yesterday, maybe nobody from the NFC North should be able to go to the playoffs.
Oh, gosh. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. Let's make the turn now.
Cool.
From damn okay to the old self-scout.
Self-scout thyself. Where did you fuck up the season already, Sims, in week one?
And I should have mentioned this at the top. It's so easy to overreact in week one because we've been waiting for football for so long.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to have the fans out. That amplifies our feeling. So we try to have some perspective while reacting the way everybody else is reacting today.
Yep.
to all the things that stood out. So self-scout thyself. Josh Allen, your number two quarterback.
Right.
Bills didn't score a touchdown the second half.
Yep.
They scored one on offense the entire game. Got upset by the Steelers at home 23-16.
Yeah.
A disappointing start.
Right.
Any reason to worry about a regression there?
No. Listen, this is one where I'm self-scouting myself, and I would just say I'm not going to overreact here yet. Yeah, it was. Listen, Pittsburgh's like not the defense you always want to play week one. You know, they do a lot of crazy shit.
However, they blitzed on the dropback 2 out of 54 plays yesterday. Doesn't mean they weren't doing crazy shit in the back end.
That's to confuse them. Yes, but that's what
they weren't like aggressive with the blitz.
Smart. I mean, well, why? You know, why blitz? Why let Josh Allen make the blitzer miss, and now you have one last guy down the field covering? You know, so I think that is a smart game plan. You got T.J. Watt. You got Cam Hayward. You got guys that should be able to at least get around him and, you know, not let him sit there all day long. Buffalo controlled this game for the most part until about the third quarter. They had plenty of chances. You know, Allen was a little off, certainly. This is definitely a game I'm going to go back and watch because I want to see some of the coverages and things they were doing. But Allen was a little off. The receivers dropped some big balls in a few moments. I mean, whether it was Emmanuel Sanders in one of the last drives of the game, Cole Beasley dropped a few balls. I mean, he had one that was like a third down. It was like a 25-yard crosser he dropped. You know, so they didn't, as a whole, play their best offensively. And, you know, I guess to me the turning point of the game was one thing. They had the ball many times, at least two or three times, up 10-6, and couldn't quite just get into field goal territory or get down there to score a touchdown. Their defense was playing phenomenal. I mean, really, Pittsburgh had shown everything was work. They have the fourth down, and I don't know where it was at, Pete. I'm going to say it's at, like, the Pittsburgh 46 or 45. They're just over midfield. They had fourth and one, and he threw the little toss out to the left to Singletary. This is a play we'll probably break down on Wednesday because it needs to be broken down. It wasn't the proper look to run that play is what I basically want to say. It's 10-6 there, and the game was never the same after that. That's where the game changed because now they got a short field, and Big Ben and company went on a four-play, 52-yard drive, got a little momentum.
Yeah.
And then that next series, now it's, of course, 13-10. Buffalo's got the ball. He throws a seam route up the left side to Emmanuel Sanders, who it hits him right in the chest. You got two hands on it, and the guy kind of hits him after it and knocks the ball out. Where you go, well, that was a huge play because a few plays later, they blocked the punt and returned it for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So that was, to me, the game right there. And now you're up 20-10. You don't want to be down 20-10 to Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because now you know you're not going to get any blitzes. They're going to play soft coverage. They're going to let their front four just go be wild, crazy dogs and go get the quarterback. And I thought Josh Allen, a few moments of the game, it was a little too loose. It's Pittsburgh. When you get out of the pocket, you got to give yourself a look around. T.J. Watt's coming. He didn't go, oh, he's out of the pocket. I'll just sit over here and wait for him to throw the ball. They're coming. And, you know, they got the strip sack fumble, and they had a few other plays like that, too, that were very close to disaster. So I'm not panicked on the Buffalo Bills. I think the one encouraging thing is the defense looked very good. I had questions about the defense and what they would look like.
Pittsburgh had under 100 yards total offense in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, they struggled offensively right away.
Buffalo, this game was very close. I mean, Buffalo should have been up by more than 10-6 and 10-3 at points. At least that was my feel watching it. You know, the stats even say, and again, I know I'm not always about the stats, but I think it's still fair to say they kind of controlled the flow of the football game for about almost three quarters, at least three quarters of the game. And then the fourth quarter, Pittsburgh kind of took over from there.
While they were controlling it, they weren't scoring.
Right.
You like look at the score.
Exactly,
and you're like,
right.
What?
Yeah, it's only 10-6. They had the ball all the time. It's, you know, Big Ben and the offense are always on the sidelines, right? Yeah. It's only that. And really it's three quarters. I'm wrong. It's they controlled the game for three quarters.
They did.
Yeah. That fourth down miss was in the fourth quarter, where then they drove down to that 52-yard drive and the block punt. That was all fourth quarter. So it was three quarters, and you let Pittsburgh hang around.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Big Ben and those receivers, as you see, they can make some plays too to flip the field position.
You mentioned the stat and you pointed out a good one. I want to go to the intangible a little bit with Pittsburgh. I know the focus of this right now is Buffalo. But this was so not your garden variety win for Pittsburgh. Think about it, going on the road to a team that's a popular, legitimate Super Bowl pick.
Right.
Most people think Pittsburgh was the bottom half of the AFC North. And who knows, maybe they still are coming into the season. And even though they had the winning record last year, people are like, you know what? Push that record aside. They sucked at the end of the year.
Right.
See, they had all that going on, and they go in there and come from behind and win at Buffalo. You think about how much different they feel walking into their facility now as opposed to when that happened yesterday. I mean, whatever that feeling is and however you want to label it, I think they got an injection of that from yesterday more than anybody else.
Definitely. It gives a little belief. I mean, the defense goes, okay, wait, we're still damn good. We don't have Bud Dupree. All right, that's a good start for us right there.
T.J. Watt didn't practice.
Right.
I guess he can still play.
Yeah, he's T.J. Watt's still a baller. You know, even the offense, you know, again, the thing to watch for
new coordinator.
We did see the ball get pushed down the field a little bit. Listen, they're going to give teams problem too when you play man-to-man on them a little bit. I mean, Juju, Chase Claypool, and Deontay Johnson, they're going to be just about anybody in football on man-to-man situations, let alone they're coverage receivers. Even when they're covered, they're not.
Yeah.
They have phenomenal – like we saw Deontay Johnson. Ball got tipped. Yeah. He still got his feet down. Chase Claypool caught a go route down the right sideline. It was underthrown, and he plucked it off the guy's head, and the guy had four hands on the ball, and he still caught it. they're great that way. Juju's the same way. So that's where they're dangerous. They still do got to get the run game going, though. The run game was nothing special yesterday.
Right.
You know, it was really one run by Najee Harris was his stats for the day.
7 carries for only 8 yards first half.
Right.
Second half, 9 for 37.
9 for 37, and I think one of them was like a 18-yard gain there that kind of got him down
in
the red zone.
He had one double-digit run.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I certainly would like to see more from that stance, but either way, it's Buffalo, like you said. It's a good football team. Buffalo's not going anywhere.
Right.
And it'll give them confidence. And, man, you know, just Mike Tomlin deserves credit. I mean, come on. Nobody's chippier than him. He's probably was nudging and edging his guys all training camp. You better have your butts ready. We got Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. Remember what they did to us on Sunday Night Football last year. You know, they're a highly motivated group. That was cool to see.
We have some quarterback issues or some very good headlines to get into now with the Saints beating the Packers, embarrassing the Packers. Just like Matt LaFleur said, 38-3. Let's start with a positive. Jameis Winston, 5 touchdown passes. Threw 20 passes, Chris. Not a single sack, didn't take a sack, didn't throw a single pick.
It might have been the biggest ass. I mean, it's the biggest ass whooping of the day.
For sure.
I mean,
and the biggest surprise.
And the biggest surprise, you know, there was never a point in the game where I went like, Green Bay will get back in this. Green Bay, I mean, it was from the get-go. It was smother job. Smother. Green Bay is not all that creative on the offensive side of the ball if they don't have a little bit of the run game to go with it. Then they can marry some of their cool play action passes. But I think the Saints, and I'll be interested when I watch this film too, I think they went with Bakhtiari out, a new center. They said, we're not going to give you, Rodgers, any chances to change field position, throw bombs. It looked like they played 2 safeties back all game long for the most part and just whooped the shit out of Green Bay's offensive line. So Green Bay couldn't run the ball. And listen, again, I'm not trying to give any excuses for Aaron Rodgers and company, but please go back and watch the game just from what I saw, of course. And I know I'm watching other games and everything, but I didn't see an open receiver all game long.
Victor Tossi sees it the same way. He asks, it seemed like the Green Bay receivers were never open.
No.
Was the Saints D or the Green Bay offense more responsible?
The Packers offensive scheme and drop back pass game is not a special thing to me. It never has been, you know, even back to McCarthy, but even here with LaFleur, I've never been like, oh, you know, yeah, LaFleur brings some of that Shanahan play action. We're going to run the ball. He's good in that department. But when it gets to straight drop back, to me, it's too reliant on 12. It's just like basic concepts and hey, 12, throw it in there. And, you know, just against a team like the Saints, who's pissed off at the world and everyone's writing them off because there's no Drew Brees. Yeah, they were all over it. I did not see anything. And I'm not trying to make excuses for Rodgers or anything like that.
Right.
Devontae Adams, every time they showed him in a clip down the field, you know, there was a guy underneath him and a guy over the top of him. I mean, they were just all over. Some of the completions Rodgers made, I went, holy shit, that guy was so covered. That's unbelievable they got that in there.
But this is such a drop-off. And I know it's week one.
Yeah.
And we're pointing out, hey, don't overreact anything.
Right.
But this is the MVP last year.
Yeah, I know.
This is the highest scoring offense in the league last year.
Yeah.
3 points, I mean, why didn't they get shut out? I mean, that's how bad they looked.
Yeah, it was. It was that bad. I don't know. We're going to see where it goes.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, again, I don't think – I'm not, like, panicking on the Packers. But, hey, off-season turmoil, you know, all that shit you go through, another NFC championship let down, you know, Za'Darius Smith not happy with his contract situation. I mean, they got a lot of issues. And, yeah, we'll see. And then they met a team that, you know, was motivated, understood the scheme, and I think a tough matchup for them, you know, all together. And Jameis Winston played awesome.
Right. I don't want to get into the Saints here.
Yeah.
One more question about the Packers.
Yeah.
And you seem very confident in the conversation before that Josh Allen, hey, one-off game for this offense, this team is going to be just fine, even though they scored one touchdown on offense. Do you have the same level of confidence that the Packers – after a horrible game one performance, will be okay as the season gets longer?
I mean, okay, but I'm not going to say I feel as confident about the Buffalo – I mean, as the Buffalo Bills. I'm more confident in Buffalo's ability to get through this.
I think they're under, and we had a big conversation about this last week, was like 10.5?
Right, I think so.
Is that – and we were like, holy shit, of course they're going to blow past 10 and a half wins.
Right.
Would you back off that at all?
Yeah, it might be right around there. Mm-hmm. I mean – I think I picked them, to be my number 2 seed, maybe, or 3 seed, I think I picked them in the NFC.
I had them going to the Super Bowl.
Well, one of the things that, you know, and it's a long year. I had them a 3 seed.
Okay.
You know, one of the big reasons I just the over was just because of the rest of the division.
Of course.
I mean, that's where I just looked at it and went, they should wipe the floor with their division.
Mm-hmm.
That's like maybe 6 wins, okay, maybe 5-1. Like, I don't think it's going to be much worse than that. 4-2 might be as bad as it gets, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe. We'll see as we go forward here. I guess I have more faith. This is what I have more faith in with Buffalo. First off, Allen is capable of more than Rodgers at this point of his career. He really is. He's even when things are broken down, he is capable of making more magic happen. He has, I think, a better weaponry around him, even though I don't go, whoa, it's unbelievable. I mean, Diggs is amazing. Emmanuel Sanders is good. There's a reason this is third team in the last 3 years, though, everybody. He's not a superstar anymore. You know, Cole Beasley's good. Dawson Knox is good at tight end. But I do think Buffalo's passing system, their system, is just more creative, more in-depth. I see way more route combinations and schemes as compared to Green Bay, which in their drop-back pass scheme is like West Coast 1-on-1. It's like still stuff sometimes where I go, yeah, okay. Most of the old defensive coordinators know the rules of these plays just as good as your players do. They've been defending this since Bill Walsh in 85, so they know it. And that's where I get concerned with Green Bay a little bit, I guess, is that aspect.
Right.
So they are a little bit more – they're more reliant on needing the run than Buffalo. You know, Buffalo, they ran the ball yesterday because of like what you said. It looked like Pittsburgh was so deep off and running so many different crazy zone coverages and things like that that they were like, shit, we got to run the ball up the middle on a few draw plays and let Singletary go in there because it was stealing.
Right.
So I have more concerns about Green Bay, long story short there.
I know you're going to spend more time with that and kind of get a good feel for what did happen for Green Bay.
Yeah.
You go in to sit down and watch that tape of Green Bay failing against New Orleans and Jacksonville. Do you go in thinking, okay, it's more Aaron Rodgers, it's more the receivers, it's more the scheme? Which one of those three do you go in more or most skeptical?
Well, I think when I see receivers not open like that, I'm gonna the scheme is gonna be the first thing I'm gonna say.
Okay,
I mean, there's too many plays on replay and everything. You know, I know Rodgers throws the interception when they're down there close. You know, but even that, they had a guy running with the shallow cross, and they had another guy coming ready for the shallow cross.
Yeah.
You know, that was a dumb throw by him.
He wasn't that open.
No, he was not that open.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. But there was a beat on their offense. So that, I think, is the first thing I'm going to watch, is just to go, You know, listen, I know Rodgers didn't play as good and the offensive line wasn't great, but to me, the look was nobody was open all day. What did the Saints do? Where in the offense did they have a beat on what they were doing, I think, is the first thing I want to check out.
And the best thing or favorite thing you saw from Sean Payton and Jameis Winston?
I mean, I think, you know, it's the obvious. It's just that, it's the ability to stretch the field a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, they have a crushing offensive line that's in the conversation for one of the best in football. We know how special the running back is off of that in Kamara. So they're going to force your hands. And Peyton is a run-first play caller the last 5 or 6 years. This is not like 5,000 yards Drew Brees back in 2013 or 12 in those years, right? He's looking to do that. So they make you creep up and respect their run game. And they're going to move most teams off the ball, and that's where they're going to be dangerous because then, okay, now Callaway and Deontay Harris, they can stretch the field, and Jameis certainly can push the ball down the field.
Okay, we have one more here for the self-scout thyself. And
yeah.
To set this one up here, mm-hmm. Chris, I've got a lot of people I don't know upset with me because I sit next to you.
Oh, is that right?
You know
right?
Where we're going?
No, I don't.
Little, you know, if we jumped on 95 and drove about 2.5 hours south, what's the big city we'd be in?
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He's crapping on me right now from first game.
People are, and just to, I think sure. A lot of our listeners are, you know, with us all the time, so they know
right.
That you didn't have Jalen Hurts in your top 40 mm-hmm. this offseason. So people are tweeting at me. They're angry with me.
Yeah.
Because I sit next to you, and he played well. And they think you didn't give him the proper respect in the offseason.
Listen, I'm not like the end-all, be-all. Maybe you play this clip and send this out to all these people. I'm going to sit here and tell you when I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be right about every evaluation. I do 97 zillion fucking evaluations throughout the year. Every now and then I'll be 969 zillion correct and one wrong. No, I'm just joking. He looked really good. Yeah. He looked good in the preseason, just in the 10 snaps.
Right.
You know, I did like the way to look. Hey, I picked Philadelphia to win this football game.
Yeah.
Just so people will know that right off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, the way he controlled the football certainly was good. You know, the ball placement throughout the day. You know, I don't go, wow, what a laser, wow, what a spiral.
It's not
but
his
the
game.
Ball is always right there where it needs to be.
Right.
And then, of course, his ability to make plays outside of the pocket, like the touchdown before the end of the first half. I mean, that's special what he brings to their football team. And here's the thing I'll say, too. You know, as I got closer to the season and, you know, I start to dive into rosters a little bit more and, like, let me give one more evaluation. I did sit there and go, man, I'm a little low on Philadelphia mm-hmm. because I think Pete would attest to this. What I've been saying over the last like 10 days or at least is just this, man, their offensive line can be special. I mean, special. When you talk about, you know, the big tackle, I'm going to mess his name, who just signed up the contract extension, Mulata. You got Kelsey. You got Brandon Brooks back healthy. Lane Johnson. I want to go... Yeah, that's one of the better groups I can talk about in football. You know, so they can protect him, but they also, because of that group, they're going to make some defenses go, damn, we got to put an extra guy in the box. They're going to blow us off. They ran the ball a few times yesterday, and the Atlanta Falcons, their whole front four was 4 yards down the field.
Yeah.
I mean, they got pushed the fuck around. So I really liked it. I really did. And I'm rooting for Jalen Hurts. I know everybody thinks I didn't make him my top 40. Yeah, it looks like I'm wrong right now. And I'll go down on Philadelphia Sports Radio and say, yeah, I messed that one up. He looked really good. Really did.
It's a
great throw. It's a one game. I get it. But, you know, even the throw to Devontae Smith for the touchdown, just the right trajectory. Excuse me, I'm drooling. Right ball. And the other thing, too, is I'm a believer in the offensive scheme. You know, I'm a huge Shane Steichen fan, the offensive coordinator there, who came from the Chargers last year with Justin Herbert. I'm a huge fan of his. Like, to me, he is going to be a head coach here in the next few years. And then Nick Sirianni, I'm the same way. You know, I didn't love his first few press conferences with the team.
Right.
I went to like, well, that was a little weird. But what I've known from him on the offensive side of the ball, I like that too. So if they can have a little element of creativity and then dominate the line of scrimmage like they did yesterday, Philadelphia might be able to surprise some people. And that goes to their defense too. Their D-line is another unit where I went, I think I might have underrated, you know, how they're going to be able to push people around on both sides of the ball. And you saw yesterday, Falcons aren't ready for Tennessee Titans Derrick Henry football yet. They're not built for it. They got their asses whooped. Matt Ryan was under duress. And, you know, it's going to be – I think it's going to be a tough year for the Falcons. I don't see it.
One thing I want to point out here from my perspective on this side of the table, and this comes to – I sit here when you rank 1 through 40, and some of them are like, oh, that's pretty low or that's pretty high.
Yeah.
One thing he does is put in the work, but the second thing is he's happy for everybody's success.
Yeah,
I know that from being around him for the last 3 years. So as much as people get angry, and let's just talk in the abstract about any kind of ranking, whether it's Jalen Hurts or anybody being too high or too low, I know that you go home and feel good about these guys when they play. You feel happy for them because you have a perspective on how difficult it is to do that.
Definitely.
So, I mean, keep that in mind pat him on the back or hate him, whatever it is. I know that you are happy for these guys when they do well.
I really am. And I'll tell you the other aspect that I love. Jalen Hurts is like, he's a leader of men. That's where it jumps out to me about him. Like, his quotes, I want to be like, sometimes I want to be like, do you have a fucking quote book that you're reading? Like, he makes these just like where you're like, are you 34? Like, in this wise?
Yeah.
Like, he just has a great way about him. He's never too up. He's never too down. You know, when he gets asked the right question, he just, it's always the right answer. I always go, guy gets it. He just gets it. And, you know, he just doesn't let much affect him. Deshaun Watson's going to get traded. He doesn't give a crap. He just keeps going. He's just going to keep fighting just like he did from Alabama to Oklahoma. And here he is now. And he's improved himself in a short time as far as a passer. And we'll see if he can you know, keep it rolling.
The quarterback packages, the stories came in yesterday, pretty darn good. We move on to Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and their debuts yesterday. Let's take a look numerically at what these guys got done. So, boy, Trevor Lawrence had to throw it 51 times. There was a lot of good. There was a lot of not good. His team kind of, I mean, they... The Jacksonville got upset, I guess you can say upset, by the Texans.
I know.
And Zach Wilson started out really slow. I thought he had some really impressive moments later in the game. Let's start with Trevor Lawrence. Three touchdowns, three picks, a lot of yards, a lot of bad plays. Is this going to be his rookie season?
Yes, it is. Get used to this. It could be a year where he's going to throw maybe 25 touchdown passes and 25 interceptions. You know, one, they're not going to run the ball consistently good on anybody. You know, he's raw. Urban Meyer, like we've talked about, is getting used to the football. And listen, honestly, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here. They prove me wrong. But I just, the offensive coordinators and the people designing the offense down there in Jacksonville, you know, I need to see more, too. I've never been like, oh, Daryl Bevel, watch out, you know. Oh, Brian Schottenheimer, watch out. I like Schottenheimer, some of the run stuff. You've heard me say that before. And I have respect for both of those guys. But, yeah, I've never been blown away by the creativity of their offenses either way. And that, to me, is another thing that, you know, we got to continue to evaluate along with the Trevor Lawrence thing. Trevor Lawrence physically looks good. It's fine. It's just going to be rough. They're not. They got a lot of new things going on there. That was the dumbest pick of my weekend. I'll show you my other notebook. I had the Texans winning the game. I got on the podcast with Florio on Friday morning.
He got in your head.
He started talking, and I went, you know, man, Texans have been dysfunctional. Maybe Urban Meyer is going to do something special here. That was such a stupid pick. I mean, you know, the Texans say what you want. They still got a lot of pros, and people have been around for a long time, and there's some things that you can go, you know. Jags were three. I know. That's still, it was a dumb line by Vegas. That got down to, like, they were
three
smoking
points.
Crack when they did that one.
Jags,
you know, they really were.
Favorites, yeah.
But here's, I think, expect this. You know, Trevor Lawrence, the game was easy for him in college. Not only because he was talented, but he was always on the best team.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to take some lumps, and he's going to have to learn a little bit. I don't want to say to manage the game, but just, manage the game to a degree. Hey, it's 17-7. You're on your own 6-yard line. It's 2nd and 9. You don't need to force a 20-yard out route when the corner's dropped 18 yards already. Know the situation. Know where you are on the field. Okay, it's 2nd and 9. The guy underneath was wide open. You could have thrown to him. He probably would have got the first down. You know, just things like that throughout the game. Where, he'll learn, but there's a lot on his shoulders. And there's a lot of newness there in that Jacksonville team. I think you're going to see a lot of this all year long. Still, though, I'm not, like, panicked about him.
Right.
Physically, He's the real deal. Yeah, he's the real deal. It's going to be about the rest of the team and everybody helping him out, and he's just going to grow as a player, and Jacksonville's going to take their lumps this year.
Say that again, Pete. Yes, yes.
Oh, Zachary Wilson.
Zach Wilson. The Panthers beat the Jets 19-14. So Zach Wilson, the finishing numbers, 20 out of 37, 256, two touchdowns and a pick. He started out 2-for-10.
Yeah.
First half was a struggle.
Right.
Second half, you're like, sit up in your chair a little bit, like, that's what we saw to make him the second overall pick.
Well, Carolina's going to be good on defense. People are going to learn that. I'll be shocked. I mean, again, I'll self-scout thyself in 5 weeks if I'm wrong about that one. But I would be shocked if they're not a pain in the ass for everybody, really. I mean, their front four is good. Their second-level linebackers are good. You know, the two safeties and J.C. Horn at corner with the other guy, the kid from LSU at the other corner, like year four. He's got three rockets up his ass. I'm blanking on his name. I mean, I would be shocked if Carolina's defense isn't a pain in the ass for everybody all year long. I mean, you said it. Yeah, early game was Strugglesville. Okay, yeah. He's playing against a good team. His team's not that good. And they couldn't run the ball a lick. And then you saw the pass protection. I mean, I don't know how much you saw of that game.
Saw the whole game.
The pass protection was brutal.
Right.
I mean, it was brutal. Not only brutal that they were getting beat man-to-man, but just, again, here's another thing. I need to watch it on film, but felt like they had a jump on the schemes themselves. Like, when they're in this formation, they're going to slide the line this way. And if we kind of just act like we're going to come this way where the slide is coming and then come the other way, we'll screw them. There was a few times where it's just like guys are free runners where – I think they caught the protection by surprise, and I'm sure they fooled Zach Wilson a handful of times. So, yeah, early on it was a struggle. He throws an interception down the middle, right, to Shaq Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking left, and he just kind of comes back right and fires. You know, yeah, it's probably been open all preseason, all training camp, but now you got the starters in there. The game's a little different. And Shaq Thompson did a great job. Come on, he got one hand up, he knocked it, and then caught the ball.
Yeah.
It was a great play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think your point is where I want to go. You know, I don't care. I didn't expect the Jets to win. I don't expect the Jets to win a whole lot all year long. He still made the most eye-popping throws out of all the rookies. I mean, some of the throws he made in the second half, I don't care
Fourth quarter, anybody says.
Right. Yeah. Were insane.
Fourth and eight.
Is that the one down the left sideline?
Yes.
I mean, to Denzel Mims?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. That's Rodgers. That's Mahomes. I mean, there's not a lot of quarterbacks in football that do that. You know, you got to see him get it to outside the pocket and throw a touchdown to Corey Davis. I think there was a lot of good, if you're a Jets fan, to just go, man, this guy looks the part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, they're crushed by injuries. Mekhi Becton's down now.
Yeah.
You know, Elijah Vera Tucker's been hurt. So they got to, you know, find their footing. But I did think it was, like, impressive just the way he looked. And the most important thing is, man, just some toughness and grit. Like, he was getting his ass beat, and he hung in there and at least gave him a chance at the end of the game.
The fact that his second half was that good after his first half was that bad instead of inverse, I think it makes it even more impressive.
Definitely.
I think you told me that Mekhi Becton is an MCL,
MCL,
not an ACL.
That's good.
So that's
– good. Good.
Okay, so it's
that's
it's good.
That's
good
probably
news,
gonna be,
but it's not the worst.
Yeah, it's not end of the year.
Not the worst possible.
It's probably
news.
5-6 weeks before he's back.
Right.
A little unfortunate there. And can we hit on Carolina before we move on to this real quick?
The last thing I want to do before turning the page. Yeah, Sam Darnold.
Yeah, Sam
Liked
Darnold.
It.
I mean, Carolina should have been up by more than, you know, 9-0 early on. I mean, this game had total domination. We probably should have been up 20-0, 23-0. You know, they got down in field goal range once, but there's an issue with their field goal kicker, so they punted the ball, and they're at, like, the 30-yard line. You know, of course, they had the 4th-and-1 at, like, the 4-yard line, and Sam Darnold hit the fullback as he was going to give it to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
It caused a fumble. They didn't get the conversion.
Right.
Darnold played really good. There was probably two throws during the game where I went to go, oh, he had, like, an out route that would have been a first down and maybe a touchdown early on where
he
I would have gone.
He missed a couple throws early.
And in some big situation.
Missed
like in
the seam route in the end zone.
Right, exactly right. That's what I mean. They weren't
that was
like,
it.
That was it. They weren't difference-making throws, but you go, oh, if he hit those, this game would have been a little more cushiony and comfortable.
Yeah.
But either way, he looked good. And you could see McCaffrey and DJ Moore – and Robbie Anderson shoving it up the Jets' ass, you know, for Sam Darnold. And do you think they love that? I mean, Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson throwing a deep post for a touchdown against their old team.
And if you're a quarterback and you see this time after time again, How do you like McCaffrey against the linebacker? Let me think about that. Okay.
Yeah, right.
I'll take that for 9 yards again and again and again.
Yeah. I we'll see. I know I picked Carolina to go to the playoffs, but I think their system fits their offensive skill set. I think they got talent on defense. We'll see where it goes. But, they should have won that game by more. But I give the Jets a lot of credit, Robert Saleh and company, just hanging in there and making it competitive at the end.
I thought Darnold looked really decisive.
Definitely.
Conviction.
Yes.
Didn't hesitate.
Right.
I mean, numbers were good, but just the eyeball test.
Definitely. I'm with you all the way. Yeah.
Giants. Losing 27-13 to the Broncos. Nice job, Teddy Bridgewater. Nice job, Broncos defense. I want to point out that Daniel Jones, 30 fumbles in 28 games. Only Tony Banks. Remember Tony Banks from Michigan State playing with the Rams?
Right.
Only Tony Banks had more fumbles in his first 28 games. Another big one there yesterday. What do you think after game one?
Well, here's the two things that I'll go to right off the bat. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater made two amazing. The game was very equal. I think when the score was 27-7, I think it was a little misleading. I mean, Bridgewater's play at the end of the first half to score a touchdown with 7 seconds left. You know, I think it was, let me just get this right. It was a 2-yard pass. He had like a little run pass option where it's like he could have run maybe. He attacked the line of scrimmage and then he threw the ball out there to Tim Patrick right in the flat. Like, hey, listen, that was a great play. It was a huge moment in the game. You know, you hold them, they're up, the Giants are up 7-3. You go in the halftime at 7-6, it's a whole different atmosphere. But then I think the other play, and I'm not going to say this guy's, it was a fourth down. And Bridgewater, now they're up 10-7. They go for it down close to the Giants goal line. I mean, it's a busted play. Bridgewater makes the defense end miss and buys time and throws the ball out to Okuwe Bunam. No disrespect to you. I just have to practice that. I'm sorry, Okuwe Bunam. I will get that. But he makes a great play to get in the end zone to go 17-7. Okay, yeah, Denver's controlling things. Giants come down the field, and now we get to the point you're talking about. He makes a nice scramble up the middle. Mm-hmm. You're down by 10 points. I mean, even a field goal, you're going, great, it's 17-10, no big deal. We're playing decent. Our defense is okay. But he fumbles that ball, and that's been his Achilles heel. It's his biggest issue of his career is just taking care of the football, whether he's in the pocket or whether he runs. And that, to me, was kind of the turning point of the football game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I know there was a feeling that he was going to take a big step this year.
Right.
Once again, only one game.
Yes. Denver's defense is good, too.
They're really good.
Yeah. I think they
Do
will
Do you still
be.
Feel like Jones can is moving in that direction?
Yeah,
or?
I'm not going to give up on it yet. I'm not. You know, again, too, Bradley Chubb and Von Miller against that offensive line. I mean, everybody in football knows the Giants' offensive line is an issue. I mean, that's a thing. The first thing, if you talk to anybody in football that's paying attention to the Giants, and I mean in the NFL, coaches, front office, they go, hey, how's that offensive line doing? Is that offensive line as bad as everybody's saying? Like, so, I mean, they couldn't run the ball a lick yesterday, all right? Now you got to deal with Vic Fangio, who knows you can't run the ball and you're going to throw the ball all the time. Listen, it's not going to be easy. And then even into that, you know, hey, the game was 20-7. They had the ball at the 6-yard line going into the score. You know, they turned the ball over on downs, fourth down and 6 from the goal line. They couldn't punch it in. I mean, you go 20-14 right there. Again, we're in a ball game. So that's where it was a little bit misleading, but they didn't get that. And then, of course, then it was the Melvin Gordon 70-yard touchdown around a few plays later, and it was night-night. The Giants are a work in progress, definitely. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I don't know how good they're going to be. We'll see. I think they're going to hang around, but they are not good enough right now to make those mistakes.
Right.
That's what I guess the biggest thing is.
Right.
You know, and they made some mistakes in some crucial moments of the football game. Every got-to-have-it big moment, Denver made the play and the Giants didn't. And that's not at all on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones certainly we know needs to be better, but it's not all his fault.
All right, that's self-scout thyself. We've done damn okay, but we're going to hit for the Chris Sims cycle here today.
Oh, so
we're
baby.
Going with victory lap. Roll
whoop,
it.
Whoop.
Smells like
victory.
Victory. Victory is mine.
Victory!
All right, no victory for the Patriots, but can we claim win, all of us who thought that Mac Jones should have been drafted even higher, that he'd be a success right away after his first performance against the Dolphins? Can you claim victory?
Well, I mean, I can claim victory in the fact that, yeah, I mean, I guess to a degree. You know, let's watch. I'm not going to overreact to that. But it was consistent with what we saw all preseason. You know, again, it wasn't eye-popping yesterday, but that was a tough spot. That Dolphins
defense is
talented.
Yeah.
They're talented. You know, they have two corners that can just go, fuck you, I got you, and you're not going to get open.
Right.
And then they got a pretty good front. And then they got Brian Flores and the whole Patriots staff that knows Josh McDaniels' offense. Tough situation. That Dolphins defense made a lot of quarterbacks look stupid last year. I mean, a lot. Mahomes had issues against them. Jared Goff and the Rams couldn't do anything against them. You know, so that's not like an easy group. But there he was, again, just, you know, playing with it himself. Really, I don't think, other than throwing the ball backwards on a play where he tried to avoid a sack, was the only stupid play he had all day.
Didn't throw a pick.
Didn't throw a
29
pick.
29 out of 39.
Had them in field goal range with 3 minutes left to win the game. I don't know if they're going to win it, but they're certainly going to be in the lead, and Tua's going to have to go down and score something.
Right.
You know, and Harris fumbles. So that's a big issue. But, I mean, again, I just think for Mac Jones, it's just, yeah, he understands the big picture of the game. You know, he makes a lot of just subtle plays in the pocket that maybe you don't want to give it credit for when you watch on TV. But if we sat down and watched film, I'd go, man, look at that. You know, a little nice move. What a nice throw there. You know, there was plenty to build on positively there. And, I feel good about, you know, my evaluation and where it's going for Mac Jones.
How about Tua? 16 out of 27, 202.
Yeah, Tua was just a scrapper. He was a scrapper. I mean, that's the biggest thing. You know, I think the thing that, you know, few plays, they did a good job of getting the ball into Jaylen Waddle's hands. You know, he gave his guys a few opportunities to go make a play. He had Jaylen Waddle one time up the left sideline one-on-one. He made a big play, I think maybe for his longest completion of the day. Same thing with Devontae Parker on the right sideline. Same type of thing. Had the Tua, you know, again, you can win football games with Tua. There's no doubt about that. It's just got to be a certain way a little bit. I don't think you're going to be able to ask Tua to carry you and go, wait, we got to get in a shootout right here. We need you to make plays and throw lasers. Well, we'll see where it goes from there. But I think they understand that. And he did a good job for the most part. The interception was really stupid. I don't know what he was thinking.
It was real bad.
Escaping to the right. He started to trip and stumble. Now a guy's about to hit him. And he tried to throw the ball to the first down marker. And, of course, it got intercepted and almost cost them the game.
Yeah.
So that was not the best. But you know my thing. My thing with Tua going forward, and the thing when I went and just watched them in preseason one more time, was they want to throw the ball down the middle of the field too. And, you know, I think you're going to see more and more teams as they play them. They're going to force him to try to throw the ball outside the numbers because I think people question his arm strength and his ability to kind of, you know, hit the bullseye when he's got to step on the gas and throw a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But either way, I think the Dolphins are going to be a handful all year. I didn't pick them to be in the playoffs, but I think they're going to be right here in this conversation all year.
Thought it was a super encouraging win for the Chargers against the Washington football team, 2016.
What?
Justin Herbert, the focus here, he continues to come through. 31 out of 47, made a lot of great throws. Number of times last year, those kind of numbers led to an exciting watch, but a disappointing
loss. Right, right.
This time he did all that
and
led the team to a win.
Yeah, he was he's one of the best pure passers in football. You know, I think I tried to say this to people last year. Like, you know, he's already one of the best five, six best throwers in the game right now. There's no doubt. I mean, I'm talking about all of it, too. You know, again, got to step on the gas and hit the bullseye. Oh, you need a 40-yard laser down the sideline? You need me to hit him between the numbers? No problem, coach. I'll do it. Oh, you need me to off the back foot, loft the ball perfectly to the back out of the backfield or the slot receiver's running a fade and just drop it in there? No problem, coach. I got it. Oh, wait, he's covered and the defender's got his back turned. You need me to throw a back shoulder on the money? No problem, coach. I got it. So that is just – it's high level. And, I mean, how could you not be excited about that, let alone some good receivers to go along with it?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, this is the number one thing that jumped out to me in the game, Paul. And this is where I would go, ooh, this might change my opinion on the Chargers a little bit.
I know where you're going here.
Their pass protection.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the biggest, baddest pass rush in football. People, go back and watch. The Chargers were 14 for 19 on third down.
Their first round pick or one of the Rashawn Slater?
Yeah,
tackle?
Rashawn Slater. Was really good.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I last night had to do a little package on Herbert for our Peacock postgame show, and that was the first thing that jumped out to me as I started going through plays. I started going, look at this. Every third down, he's got nobody around him. I mean, nobody. They could not get close to him. If that's the type of protection he's going to get this year,
yeah,
then the Chargers are going to be in every game against every team because he's going to hit people whether they're open or not open. So I thought that was really cool to see. And, you know, of course, Washington with the quarterback injury and everything like that is going to be a hot-button topic here.
I have a question here from at J.P. Finley, NBC Sports, friend of the program, friend of the family here. If Ryan Fitzpatrick misses significant time, he has a dislocated hip,
it's the Tua injury. It's the Tua injury. It's the same thing. Knee jammed into the ground so the hip gets jammed back up into your body.
So that's it for the season.
I mean, it could be. Maybe. I don't know. But I know that there's
he will miss significant time
for sure. Sure. Yes.
How do you expect Taylor Heinicke to perform?
I'm not sold on Taylor Heinicke, and I don't mean that to be disrespectful. I just, you know, I know we have the magic show of the wild card game against the Bucks.
I was there for that, so I'm kind of all ears because I was like,
I know.
He's pretty good the whole time.
Right.
One game.
Yes, one game.
Biggest concern.
Did, you know, and even before that, it was okay. I just don't know if he's going to make enough plays and throws in tight football games like we said, see yesterday to go, we can still win the game. You know, again, the Chargers, they kind of controlled that game. They drove down Herbert through his worst pass of the day, the interception down there by the red zone when he tried to force a deep out route into coverage there. So, you know, they dodged a bullet there a few times, but then, of course, Gibson fumbles the ball at the end and ended up letting San Diego score anyways. But, yeah, I'm not sold on Heinicke. I'm not sold that he has enough talent to take advantage of everything their offense has to present itself.
Their offense should be at least decent. Their defense should be really good.
Definitely.
So if he plays pretty well, you're talking about a wild card contender.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, 100%. You know, how do they feel about him? I don't know. You know, again, I know he can manage the game and do some things here and there, but at the end of the day, I mean, if they want to get in the playoffs, it's going to have to be some plays. You're going to have to make some plays and do something like that. I don't know if they let it ride one more week and then kind of get into the Cam Newton conversation. I mean, that's, of course, what we're going to be talking about all week long.
Would you rather line up with Cam or Taylor?
I guess I'd probably still rather line up with Cam. Mm-hmm. I would. Yeah. I guess I have more confidence in it. I need to see more from Tyler Heinicke. I know, Cam, we got our questions, but they know how to manage Cam there, too, and play, and they know Cam. I mean, that coaching staff's all from Carolina. So, listen, I don't know. Maybe they won't want to deal with them because of the way things ended in Carolina. I don't know what the story is there with that group there.
Did Ron address it today, Pete? Is it?
I haven't heard anything yet.
I've not seen anything.
Yeah, but that's going to be the million-dollar question. I would think they give Heinicke one more week to see how it goes, see how he plays. So there you go. It's
Thursday
a Thursday night
game.
I forgot
Giants,
about that.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to be tough too. But I would think that at least Cam's on their radar, and they're going to evaluate this as they go.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, in a way, because you mentioned that they know him better than anybody else, I mean – if they know him and still really like him a lot, they could have signed him right now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, Cam is a hot lightning rod topic, too. Not everybody just wants to bring him into their organization and start the, are you going to play Cam Newton? Hey, Cam Newton's in our locker room. It's just not everybody wants to deal with that. You know, they don't. So, but Heinicke, you know, he's a scrapper. But there's nothing about his game that I look at for me to just go, man, okay, yeah, he's got a chance to be a starter one day. I don't see it that way.
Yeah.
His biggest throw of the day was to Terry McLaurin, the little ball up the left sideline. Should have been picked. I mean, the ball went right through the two defenders' hands. It was a great catch by McLaurin. I got to see more, I guess, before I buy
that's
in to go, yeah, stay with Heinicke.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. I think Pete just told me that breaking news, Fitzpatrick just put on IR.
Yeah.
So he's out at least 3 weeks. But if it's a hip, like even close to the two injury, I mean, that's – that is very significant.
Yeah,
time.
It's all going to be whether he's got a tear in like the labrum around the hip or anything like that. Like I know Florio last night reported that there was like a little dislocation of that, you know, hip bone or whatever there that came out, which of course is not good. But as long as there's not a tear and the labrum and the cartilage around the hip, then maybe he does get back in, you know, 5-6 weeks, something like that.
And a victory lap on Ja'Marr Chase. The Bengals beat the Vikings in overtime 27-24. I may as well start with this from Jake. He says, Ja'Marr Chase, exclamation point. Clearly the best rookie wideout on Sunday. Everyone was counting him out because of those drops in the preseason. 5 receptions on 7 targets, no drops, 101 yards, and a long touchdown.
Yeah, great for Ja'Marr Chase.
Right?
I mean, to me, I don't know if there was a combination under more pressure in football yesterday than Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. And that was great to see, especially the 50-yard bomb down the sideline.
Yeah.
You know, hey, listen, I hope people listen to the podcast. It was, you know, concerned, okay, sure, yeah, but it's not like panic time yet. Guy didn't play football last year. He's new to the NFL. Yeah, he got off to a rocky start, and it became a big freaking issue. But as we saw yesterday, he still remembers how to catch the ball, and he still remembers how to run fast.
Yeah.
And I think it'll only get better. I saw nothing but baller supreme in college to where I'm just not getting off that ship. I mean, there was a reason he was my number one receiver.
Yeah.
Devontae Smith and him both got off to a good start yesterday. But, yeah, that was good to see from Ja'Marr Chase. Now, the other thing I'm a little concerned with the Bengals, just a little bit. I mean, Mixon looked awesome. This game, first off, they were up 21-7. Let me just say this. This was the turning point of the game that made it close. The Bengals were up 21-7 on their own 30-yard line and went for it on 4th-and-1.
A lot of going for it now.
What the f- You're the Bengals. You're up 14. The Minnesota is having a trouble moving the ball.
Yeah. You don't like the over aggressive.
Not on your own 30.
Yeah.
Up 14. Like it's like you were like, hey, you know, we got to give you a chance for the ratings on TV here. So we're gonna gamble on this one, Mike Zimmer, one of the greater defensive minds in the last 50 years in football. We're gonna gamble. That's just stupid. Like,
Matt,
you're just begging to lose a game that way.
Maddest I've seen you with this.
Because, like, I like Zach Taylor. I like Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And, like, don't let your emotions get the best of you in that moment.
People around the building are opening the doors. They thought that knock was on their
Hello, Bengals.
Yes.
Yeah. But, no, everything. And even Joe Burrow. I mean, that was awesome
How
to see,
awesome
too.
How awesome was that?
Yeah.
I mean, just like as a – I don't have anything for or against either one of these teams.
Right.
But how can you not pull for somebody that went through that bad injury and you kind of keep it an extra eye and be like, boy, that'd be cool if he got off to a great start.
Yeah.
And he was terrific.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah.
Looked comfortable.
Good for him.
Didn't make all the plays we were used to seeing him like scrambling and doing that. We're not going to see that for a few weeks.
20 out of 27.
Exactly. Knows
no
where
picks.
To go with the ball.
Yeah.
He was smart. I mean, I thought he threw – the ball looked good coming out of his hand. That was good. Hey, I thought the Bengals would keep this close. I picked them to cover the spread. The Bengals are big up front, so I thought they could slow down Dalvin Cook in the run game. You know, and I'll say this too. Minnesota got a little unlucky. I don't think Dalvin Cook really fumbled at the end. I think his butt was down. You know, all my common sense says it, but I'll give respect to the NFL where there was no clear video evidence to actually see it. You know, you could kind of somewhat piece it together and you're like, I think he's down. But they called it a fumble on the field and there was nothing clearly to overturn it. And that's the rule book there. So, you know, good job by the NFL there. Here's the other thing I want to say.
Yep.
Pete, T. Higgins got hurt yesterday. And that would be a blow. And I don't know. And I want to say I saw him go off on the cart on the sidelines. Mm. And then, Pete, if you just look that up or at least give me a clue. Okay, if it's a cramp, that's good because they need T. Higgins.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, when you talk about Mixon, Ja'Marr Chase, Boyd, T. Higgins,
yeah,
and if they can run the ball a little like they did yesterday,
there's a whole reason that taking Chase made sense instead of the tackle who did very well for Detroit yesterday. By the way, Penei Sewell,
right?
But you know, having those guys outside and one inside as well, it's awesome.
It is awesome. They could be a real handful. If they can just win the line of scrimmage a little bit and keep people honest with the run game. Mixon is a super talented superstar running back. He's a superstar. You just, you know, again, if you have no holes, I don't care who you are, it's hard to run for yards where there's no holes and there's a bunch of 300-pound guys in the hole. So he had a few yesterday, and you could see what he could do. He made a lot of great 8, 7, and 10-yard runs. I'm really happy for the Bengals. They squeaked that one out.
You got a quick pick on Raiders Ravens tonight?
I will. I'm going Ravens. All right. I'll say this. I'm expecting Gruden and Carr to have a plan for this Ravens defense.
Mm.
I would be shocked if Gruden doesn't have a lot of good ways to protect, get the ball out of hands, Derek Carr's hands early. You know, there's no Marcus Peters, of course. There's an issue there. You know, my question about Baltimore is, can they rush the passer without overly blitzing? You know, that's going to be a thing I'm going to watch. But, yeah, I'm still going to take the Baltimore Ravens. I just don't – I don't trust the Raiders' defense. I really don't. I think that's where it comes down
based off at the end of last year, yeah.
Right. And, you know, Baltimore still – I know we have the running back problems, but they still got a huge, big, powerful offensive line where I just – I got to see it to believe it that the Raiders can hang in there and slow that down. You know, so we'll see. It's a big year for this Raiders defense and see if they can get some growth from some of these young guys and some other guys can maybe pop up and show up on the radar here.
That is an every game Monday.
Booyah.
Pod right there.
Woo! Can't wait for the bye week so we can take a few off the list.
When do those byes start kicking in? That's not for a while.
So we got you back with us Wednesday?
I am back.
I'm awesome.
I'm on a little bit of a streak here.
Cool. Yeah. I like it. You're so
I'm here
hot.
Wednesday.
Want to touch the hiney. So, yes, Paulie's back Wednesday.
Yes.
We're going to be breaking down some film here. You know, I think we're gonna do some deep dives.
I've heard of this. Yeah. Is there gonna be some visual enhancements?
We're gonna get on the video board and we're gonna break some shit down.
Okay.
We're gonna get into some of the biggest plays of the week,
this
biggest moments, maybe some themes from some games where I go, this team kept doing this and look how they couldn't stop it. So again, send the questions. Any plays? Hey, homies, anybody out there, any plays specifically where you want to know what happened? Like, if you're wondering, how did Cooper Kupp get wide open running the middle of the field with nobody there?
How did he?
I'll be able to explain it to you.
Okay.
Tune in Wednesday. It's a good tease. Good
I'm
question.
Tune in from right here.
But that's it. Paulie, you the man.
Good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for driving the ship.
Absolutely.
You the man. Everybody be safe. Be good. Enjoy Monday Night Football. We'll see you back Wednesday for the film breakdown on Chris Sims Unbuttoned, presented by Under Armour. The only way is through.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.